Well, it is good to see you all through the camera's eye. And, you know, Pastor, we are happy to hear that your ear is doing well. And we miss you all. We miss all of you. I know my family sits around the couch and we watch it on the TV, and it's different, but we enjoy that part of it. I know, as you can see, my razor and I are staying 6 feet away from each other during this coronavirus. And it's one of those things, you know, my beard is practicing social distancing from my razor, and it's hard, so pray for me, you know, because you know, also my wife is practicing social distancing from this beard, so I have to choose which one do I want to keep. So if you'd pray for me in that situation. But we have, you know, hard decisions during these times. There's decisions, all kinds of decisions we have to make, and you know, during these confusing time that we're in, I've noticed myself, sometimes I drift on my focus in life. I've noticed that, and I wrote a few things down. I drift on my focus in life in my fears, and then also my finances, my friends. Sometimes I focus on my family, and then sometimes I focus on my food, what I'm going to eat, and then sometimes on my faith, and I notice sometimes my focus gets all turned around. And as I was reading Psalm 150, it encouraged me to refocus on what is important. It encouraged me to focus on God's original focus point, and that's His glory. So if you would take your Bible right now and turn to Psalms number 150, and I know there is more than just Psalms 150 when we start talking about this subject, but Psalms 150 just encouraged my heart the other day, and I just want to share a few things with you. I'm not trying to do a Bible study with it. I just want to share with you a few things that encouraged me out of this book of Psalms, chapter 150, and I'm going to say a word of prayer, and then I'll read the entire chapter, and then we'll go ahead and get into it. Yeah, Psalms 150. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time. Even though it is through a different method, Father, may you be glorified and honored. And Father, you are great. Great and mighty is your name. And Father, we want to give you all the praise and all the glory due to your name. And Father, we ask you that your word would reign supreme, that you would be high and lifted up, and that we could do our job, what we were made for, created for, and glorify you even today. In your precious name, Lord, amen. Here we are in Psalms 150, and it reads, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him." It says, "Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals." And then it says in verse 6, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." And as we look at this chapter, we see that in the beginning and the end, it starts and it ends the same way. I heard one preacher say, "Hey, those are the bookends of it all." It says one starts it, "Praise ye the Lord," and the other ends it, "Praise ye, Lord." I said, "Let's open the book and see what's inside the rest of it." And I like that idea. And so this thing of praise is that calling attention. And if we think about God, it's praise to God. It's calling that attention to God. Calling the attention of his glory and who he is. Also, we look and sometimes we hear that word hallelujah in that "praise ye the Lord" part there. But we look at verse number 1 and we see it says there in verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord." And then it says, "Praise God in his sanctuary." And as I was reading it, I was looking, man, the sanctuary, I'm thinking, "God, how can I refocus? How can I get this focus back on you?" And it said, "In his sanctuary." You know, it's neat because the sanctuary there is sometimes I think of it as home. You know, God's home. Or at home. Praise should start at home. And I thought, man, I need to start my praise at home. And then I thought, you know, it's that place that's set aside, that sanctuary, that place, it's specially set aside, and it's where God is, or where we want to meet with God. And we can think, yes, today we would picture it as our church or a temple, something like that. And we look at it and say, man, that is where to praise him. And it shows us in this verse where we can praise him. And it says that we can praise him in the sanctuary. But then it goes on, it says, "Praise him in the firmament of his power." So this firmament area is talking about praise him. And if you think of the firmament, And you think of the power that he had to even create the firmament is amazing. But you think of it this way, if you think of the world, and sitting right on the world would be a sanctuary, a place. But then you think of the firmament, and that's everything above the world. So if you took the world and then you started going out from it all, you would have this huge circumference from the surface of the world out to the outer ends of the firmament. You say, what do you call that space in there? You call that space in there everywhere. It's everywhere. So what he's saying here, he's saying, hey, let's praise God in the sanctuary. Let's have a spot for God in our life. Let's on purpose have a location where we can praise God. And then it's saying, hey, let's not just stop there. Let's just everywhere you are, you can praise God. And he wants you to praise him. There's no place you can't go where you can just, Lord, I want to praise you. And so he's saying here in the firmament of his power, we want to praise him. So you can say praise him from the ground all the way up. We want to praise God. And here's a question for you. Do you have a place? Do you have a place to praise him? Do you have a place where you go or a place where you have to stay right now at home where you can praise him? Now, I understand it's easy for us to say, I praise God. Hallelujah. But do you set time aside? Is there somewhere in your life where you have a place, and maybe the church is that place, but do you have your prayer closet place? Do you have that holy ground? Where's your place where you praise God? You know, I remember I was working a job, and it was a plumbing job. Some years back, I was doing a plumbing job, and we were trying to fix the sewer line. And it was me and this other plumber, and we were working on it together. And it gave us problem after problem after problem. And we were just wondering, man, when are we going to finish this? And every time we got something done, something else came up. And we're working with the sewer line, so it was really annoying, and the other plumber was so annoyed and so mad, and we were finally getting the last piece put together, and it popped together, we sealed it, we fixed it, and out of my mouth, I said, praise God, and the plumber just looked at me like, what are you saying, what was that, and you know, it was interesting, anywhere we can praise God, but we give him the praise that he deserved. But here's a little statement. You were made for his praise, and he is worthy of your praise. Let me say that again. You were made for his praise, and he is worthy of your praise. And when we understand that, it gives us a purpose in why we were made to praise God. And then God deserves, he's worthy of our praise. To withhold praise from God is a very, very, and I'll say it's nice, very, very wrong thing to do, to withhold his praise, that our circumstances would stop us from giving God the praise that he deserves every day. Where's your place? You were made to praise him. He is worthy of your praise. Praise him everywhere you go. But if we keep looking down in the verses, in verse number 2, it tells us kind of why we praise him. And this why we praise it says, praise him for his mighty acts. And we look at that and we think, what are his mighty acts? And we can think of the creation that he has created. We think of maybe when he did the Exodus out of Egypt. And then we also can think of the different times maybe that Jesus, when he raised someone from the dead, or we think of the miracles, or we think of him coming again. And we even think of all these wonderful acts of God. And it says to praise him for these things. So why do we praise him? We praise him for his wonderful acts. And the interesting thing about these two things, it says praise him for his mighty acts, and it says praise him according to his excellent greatness. These two things have a very interesting thought behind them. He's saying to praise him for these things, for his mighty acts, praise him for his excellent greatness. That means this: you need to know something about God. You need to understand who he is and what he is. And once you understand who he is and what he is, it is a whole lot easier to praise him about that and saying, man, my God is love. My God is peace. My God offers this. My God is. And once you know him, it is very difficult to praise God if you know nothing about him. But if you know something about God and you look at him and you see who he is and his mighty acts and his excellent greatness, and it says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. What's his excellent grace? It could be his being who he is. It could be his love. It could be the gifts that he gives you. It could also be the promises that he has for you. It could be his faithfulness that he has for you. But praise him. If, you know, as I was looking at this excellent greatness, I was thinking, you know, God is faithful. And he is still open for business, even though everything else is closed down. What a wonderful God. We can go to him anytime. He doesn't have a closed sign. He doesn't have a distant sign. We can draw near to God, and he can draw near to us during this time. And it's a time where we don't have to social distance from God, but we can draw so close and so near to him. You know, Christian, if this during this time where everything is stopped or slowed down, where we have to focus on certain things, if we can't get a relationship with God during this time, there's something wrong. You might want to look at your heart and see, hey, what is there to know about God? What do you know about him? But we praise him. We praise him for his mighty acts. We praise him for his excellent greatness. But I also, if you keep on moving down in this chapter, look at verse number 3, how to praise God. It gives us a little bit of how to praise him. It says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. There is a way that God wants us to praise him. And there is a question to be asked, are you praising him the right way? And so there's a way God wants to be praised. You can't just say, I want to praise him any way I want. That's not what God is saying here. He actually gives us 2 bookends, and inside the bookends, he gives us all the information on how he wants to be praised. And this is what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. He's given us some ideas here. He's saying, with the sound of the trumpet, say, what do I know about his trumpet? You know, a lot of times back in the day, they used to use the trumpet as an authority of movement of an army, the authority of giving of the command to go, or sometimes it was just the announcement of somebody important to come. But if I thought of the trumpet, this encouraged my heart. I remember the trumpet as being a loud instrument, but also a very controlled instrument. It was controlled very well. We've watched some people up here give wonderful specials where they play their trumpet, and they just sound so good, so much control, but very nice and loud. You know, as I was thinking, man, when you praise, your praise should come out in a very authoritative way where you're saying, you know what, if you're saved, you're a child of God, you've been adopted into the family of God, and you have all the right to lift your voice in praise to him, and you can announce it, and you can proclaim it, and you can proclaim who your God is. Have that trumpet type of praise. Then it moved down, it says, praise him with the psaltery and harp. And I looked at this and I thought, man, the psaltery and the harp, and we put them together. I said, what does that, well, to me, that was so beautiful when I heard that. And I thought, man, those two instruments together create a wonderful harmony and melody. And I thought, wow, to play them together is so beautiful, to have that harmony and that melody in there, and it makes such beauty come out. And when I think about praising God and the way he wants to be praised, he wants to be praised with a way of that we have a beautiful harmony and melody in our praise, a way that we aren't just having, let's just say it this way, too much beat or too much treble, just how we feel. But God wants us to praise him in a way that has a beautiful harmony and melody to it. There's another verse as we go on in verse number 4. It says, praise him with the timbrel and dance. And as I looked at this, I thought, man, that is a great picture of that, showing that God doesn't just want to be praised by voice alone, but God wants to be praised in our physical being. I noticed this as you read through the scriptures, whenever the Holy Spirit of God moved, the people, it normally created a movement. Yes, it hit their hearts, but it created a movement in their physical being. And when you start to praise, God is going to move your physical being, yes, your lips, your hands, your body, to praise him. Now, I know as we were reading that, it says right there, it says, with the Timberland dance. I'm not talking about Brother McKinney's TikTok videos that he has on there. And sorry, Brother McKinney, they made fun of you last one too, so I had to also. But we're talking about here this time where we realize who God is, and it moves us to praise, and it will move, yes, our hearts, our soul, our mind, and our body to praise God. What a beautiful picture it is. But we also want to move down here. He says, praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. As I looked at that and I thought about it, encouraged my heart this way. I thought, man, the stringed instruments, the organ, the unity, the togetherness. Now, I know it probably wasn't like the organ we have here. It was, they think, more pipe-like, but we have a stringed instrument. I know, I don't know if we consider the piano strings. I do. I think it's a harp laying down, but it's a beautiful instrument with strings in it. And we have these instruments, and when we play them together, it creates this unbelievable unity. It's a beautiful picture of how our praise should be to God. There should be a unity with our spirit and God's spirit, and that praise that we're giving, there should create a unity in there. And I love that. It encouraged my heart so much. A unity even with our worship and our friends. And I know right now we can't be around each other, but we sure can encourage each other the way that we are doing. I've got text messages even during church, and you know who you are. And I've gotten some encouraging notes and letters and phone calls, and we're trying to encourage each other. We're trying to create the unity from a distance. And I love what Pastor Claire is doing, letting us have our Lord's Supper together. And even Easter, by the way, is not closed. Easter is going to happen, and I'm so happy for that. I heard some people saying, oh, Easter's closed this year. It's not. We're having Easter services. Praise the Lord for that. And Pastor's holding it. I can't wait to see what we have for Easter. And then it says here, but it also says, praise with the stringed instruments. Talking about a unity to me. It encouraged my heart in that way. But also this, as we read down a little bit further, it says, praise him upon the loud cymbals. It says, praise him upon the high cymbals. And you know, here's an example. My brother-in-law bought my boys a drum set for a joke one Christmas. And he laughed and laughed and laughed as they opened it up and they put it together. He thought it was so funny that my kids are going to bang on this drum set. Had drums, had simply a little plastic thing about so big. And my little two-year-old just slamming on it and just creating noise. And it was loud. He would hit the cymbal, and the cymbal was so annoying. It was just loud, ting, ting, ting. And my brother-in-law just laughed and laughed. Then he got in his car and left. And that drum set stayed at my house. And my kids would play with it. But as I was looking at this, I thought, man, what an unbelievable thing with the loud cymbals that they have. You know why he bought that drum set for the boys? So that I would hear noise, that I would hear loud noise. You know, let me put it this way. There was one time where I was a younger teenager, and my dad had me doing some work outside our house, so I wanted to fill the air with noise besides what I was doing because I was scraping paint off my house. It was a boring job. And so I put in a preaching tape. Yes, a cassette tape. Brother O, a cassette tape. And I put in a preaching tape, and I turned it way up, and I'm blasting my preaching tape outside my house, and all of a sudden, we had neighbors coming up to our house, knocking on the door, talking to my parents. My parents leaned out the window and said, Ryan, turn your preaching tape down. You're disturbing the neighbors. And I thought, man, what an interesting way to disturb the neighbors, because my preaching tape was up too high. But you know, as we look at this, the high-sounding cymbals, it says, you know, what I got from this is this, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to praise your God out loud so that others hear you and see you. He wants to hear your praise. And it brings you back to that question, where do you praise him? Do you have a spot? Do you have a place? It doesn't end there. It also goes a little bit further as we got through verse number 5 and we look into verse number 6. It talks about who should praise him. And it says there, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. You know, are you breathing today? Praise the Lord. I think that is pretty self-explanatory right there. You know, there are some folks, though, that are spiritually not breathing. The unsaved, if you're unsaved out there today, you know, for you to praise the Lord, it's not the same. For you to let God come into your life and breathe into you the spiritual breath of life, so that your soul can be filled, so God can fill your life. For you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, tonight would be a great day. And then you could start praising God along with us. I have a story here. It was some years back where a young teenager gave me this story, and I read it to remind me of this. It says, a young and successful executive was traveling down a neighborhood street, going a bit too fast in his new car. He was not watching for kids darting out from between the parked cars. And then it says, as he was driving down the street, a brick smashed into the side of his door. He slammed on the brakes, and he backed up the car to where the spot where the brick had hit him. And the angry man jumped out, and he jumped out of the car, and he grabbed the nearest kid and pushed him up against the parked car. And he was shouting, well, what was that all about, and who are you? That's a new car, and that brick you just threw is going to cost me a lot of money. Why did you do it? The young boy was very apologetic. He said, please, mister, please. I'm sorry, but I didn't know what else to do. He pleaded, I threw the brick because no one else would stop. With tears dripping down his face and off his chin, the youth pointed to a spot just around the parked car. It's my brother, he said. He rolled off the curb and he fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him back in. Now he's sobbing, and the boy asked, would you please help me? Would you please help me get back into the wheelchair? He's hurt and he's too heavy for me to move. And it says here that beyond words, the driver tried to swallow the rapidly swelling lump in his throat. He hurriedly lifted the handicapped boy back into the wheelchair, and then he took out a handkerchief and dabbed at the fresh scrapes and cuts. A quick look told him everything was going to be okay. Thank you, and God bless you, the grateful child told the stranger. Too shook up for words, the man simply watched the boy push the wheelchair-bound brother down the sidewalk towards their home. It was a long, slow walk back to the car. The damage was very noticeable, but the driver never bothered to repair the dented side door. He kept the dent there to remind him of this message. Don't go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at you to get your attention. Do you know God whispers in your soul and speaks to your heart? And sometimes when we don't have time to listen, God has to throw a brick at us. As I was reading this chapter, it caused me to stop, to slow down, and realize what a wonderful God I have to praise today. What a wonderful God that I have that I get to praise today. Do you know this coronavirus is throwing a brick at us? Has either thrown a brick at us to, hey, we got to slow down, we got to stop, we got to rethink, we got to. And you know what? It's time that we make sure our focus doesn't get focused on fear and doesn't get focused on finance and doesn't get focused on all this stuff, but make sure our focus is truly on what we were created to do, and that is to glorify God and give him the praise that he deserves. If God doesn't have your attention yet, what else would he have to do? You know, 13 times God talks about praising him. How are you doing? Are you still complaining about everything? Or are you looking at God, realizing who he is and what he is, and saying, wow, there is a lot to praise him about? Would you bow your heads and pray with me right now? And then I'll have Pastor Clear come on up here. Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Father, your name is a name above all others, and we ought to praise you for it. Help us to keep our focus focused on you, focus on what you want us to do each and every day. And Father, we pray that you don't have to throw a brick at us to get our attention so that we will praise you. God, I pray that folks even watching today would just stop, realize, do I have a place of praise? Have I been praising God, or have I been complaining? God, you're a wonderful God. We want to serve you. We want to lift you up in your precious name.